Es hat sich in der Sprache gesagt, und wir haben Jehudim gesagt, dass es darf nun sein. Sagt die Gemara, Rav Dimi said, Rav Shimon Pazin, Rav Shimon Levin, Rav Bar Kapara said, Machloik is between Rav Yosi and Rav Yehuda, whether the decrease to the Ksuba may be made verbally or it has to be made in writing, is only when the decrease is made in the beginning. But if the decrease was made at the end, all would agree that it would have to be made in writing. Rav Yochanan says, Machloik is in both cases, whether it's made in the beginning or the end. What does this mean? So Rav Bo said, Rav Yochanan explained to me that he doesn't argue with the earlier view. When Bar Kapara says in the beginning, he's referring to the beginning of Chuppah. When he says at the end, he's referring to the end of Bia. When I, meaning Rabbi Yochanan, said the machlokes is in both cases, I mean to say that they argue in the case of the beginning of Chuppah and at the end of the Chuppah, which is the beginning of Bia. And therefore, we're talking about different cases, so I'm not arguing with the Shita before me. Ravin said that Rav Shimon Pazin and Rav Shimon Levi and Kapara said the machlokes in Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yehuda, whether the decrease in the Ksuba may be made verbally or has to be made in writing, is only when the decrease is made at the end. But if the decrease is made at the beginning, everyone would agree that it can even be done verbally. Rabbi Yochanan says machlokes is in both cases. Rabbi Avohu said, again, like before, Rabbi Yochanan explained to me that he doesn't argue with the earlier view. When Bar Kapara says at the end, he's referring at the end of the Chuppah. When he says beginning, he means the beginning of Chuppah. When I, Rabbi Yochanan, said the machlokes is in both cases, I mean to say that they argue in the case of the beginning of Bia and at the end of Bia. Rav Papa said, if not for Rav Avohu, I would have said that Rabbi Yochanan is arguing with the view of Rabbi Shimon Levi, and it's Rav Dimi and Ravin who don't argue, meaning Ravin's end refers to the end of Chuppah, and Rav Dimi's beginning refers to the beginning of Bia, which is the same thing as the end of Chuppah. However, now that Rav Avohu has taught that Rabbi Yochanan is not arguing, it must be that Rav Dimi and Ravin are the ones who are arguing. Zuck the Mishnah, from the time that a basula is told by her husband to prepare for Nisuin, she's given 12 months to prepare herself. Similarly, if the wife tells the husband to prepare himself for Nisuin, he's also given 12 months to do so, and Alman is given 30 days. If the time was given and the Nisuin did not take place when it was supposed to take place, the wife is entitled to begin to be supported by the husband, and if he's a Kayan, she may begin to eat Truma. Rabbi Tarfon says a Kayan may choose to give his wife only Truma. Even if she wants, he can say, I'm giving you only Truma. Rabbi Akiva says, no, he has to give her at least 50% Chulin and 50% Truma. He can't give her more than 50% Truma. Mishnah continues, a Yavam does not entitle the Yavama to eat Truma. Therefore, if 12 months have passed from when the husband has asked her to prepare herself, whether there were 6 months by the husband and 6 months with the Yavam, or 12 months less a day with the Yavam, and 12, or 12 months less a day with the husband, she's still not entitled to eat Truma. The above, the thing with eating Truma was the original way the halacha was said. However, a later Bezin said that the wife of a Kohen may not eat Truma until she has entered into Chuppah. Frak the Gemara, from where do we learn that a woman is given 12 months to prepare for Nisuin? Rav Chisda said, we see this from a pasuk by Rivka, where her brother and mother said that Rivka should remain in their house for a year to prepare before going to Yitzhak. Rav Zeir said, a braisa says, in the case of a ketana, she or her father may delay the wedding until she becomes an adult. Frak the Gemara makes sense that she can delay if she feels she's not ready to married life. However, if she's ready, why does it make a difference to the father? The Gemara says, because the father says that she thinks she's ready, but she's truly not, and will end up leaving the marriage and returning to me if she gets married before she is truly ready. Zakhimar of Adva Bar Levi said, we don't set a date for Nisuin for Ketana, but we may set a date for the Ketana for Nisuin that will take place once she becomes a Gedaila. In fact, it's obvious that we may set a date for a later time. Mar said, we would think that even just setting a date will make her mamash sick from nervousness. He therefore teaches that we're allowed to set the date. Ravuna said, if a girl becomes a Begeris and the next day accepts the Kedushin, we only give her 30 days to prepare for Nisuin, like an Amon. In fact, Bryce says that a Begeris is treated like a girl who has been told to prepare for her Nisuin. Presumably, this refers to a girl who was a Basula, and we see that a Begeris is also given 12 months. Mar says the Braisa means that she's treated like an Almana who was told to prepare for a Nisuin given 30 days. In fact, our Mishnah says that a Begeris who has waited 12 months for Nisuin, Rabbi Eliezer says that since the husband must support her, he may also annul her vows. We see that a Begeris is given 12 months. Mar says the Mishnah is referring to two cases, a Begeris or a girl who has waited 12 months, because a Begeris tak only gets 30 days. In fact, our Braisa says if someone gives Kedushin to a Besula, whether he demands Nisuin and she delayed or vice versa, we give her 12 months from the time of the demand, not just from the time of the Kedushin. It's from the demand. A Begeris is treated like a girl who was told to prepare. How so? If she accepts the Kedushin the day after becoming a Begeris, she's given 12 months, and Arusa is given 30 days. So now this Braisa clearly refutes Avuna. Zachmar, Tiyufta, Dravuna, Tiyufta. Fekmar, what's meant when the Braisa says that an Arusa is given 30 days? So Rav Papa said it means that if a girl was a Begeris for 12 months and then became an Arusa, she's only given 30 days, like an Amunah. The Mishnah said, Higiyaz man v'loy nisu. Ula explained, Deraisa and Arusa of a Kohen may eat Truma because she's considered the Kenyan Kaspay of the Kohen. However, the Rabbanim were concerned that when she's living in her father's house, she may mistakenly give her Truma to her brother or sisters to eat or drink. Therefore, they were Geisa, she can't eat Truma as an Arusa. If so, then even when the 12 months are reached, she should still be also to eat Truma because she's still in her father's house. Mar said, in that case, he designates a special place for her for support in total, and therefore her Truma will be separate from her family. She will not give it to her family. Based on the Xera, a Kohen who is employed by Yisrael should not be allowed to eat truma because he may give it to the Israel to eat. Mar says the employer gives him food to eat. He'll never give the employer food to eat. Shmuel ben Yehuda said the reason an arusa of a kohen may not eat truma is because we're concerned that he'll later find the mum in her that will retroactively nullify the kedushin and will make it like she was never an arusa to him and therefore was never allowed to eat truma. In fact, if so, then she should not be allowed to eat truma even after going to the chuppah if she has not had yet bia with him, because at bia is when he'll be able to see all the physical defects. Mar says, before going to chuppah, a man has his wife checked out by the female family members to see if there are any physical defects. Based on this gzera, the slave that a kohen buys from Yisrael should not be allowed to eat truma because the kohen may find a defect and annul the sale retroactively. Mar says, such defects don't annul the purchase of a slave retroactively. If it's an external defect, he saw it. If it's an unexposed defect, since it doesn't affect his work, the owner doesn't care. If he's found to be a thief or a kidnapper, the sale is considered valid anyway. The only other mumen could be if he's found to be an armed robber who was sentenced to death by the government. Those mumen are known. In fact, what's the practical difference between the reason given by Ula and the reason given by Shmuel about Yehuda? The difference would be, one, where the husband agreed to accept any defect he may find, two, where the father gave her over to the husband's messengers, or three, where the father's messengers went along with the husband's messengers.